Thank the Lord for that song this morning, and so thankful that regardless of condition, circumstance, problems, people in your life, that the Lord is able to minister to the depth of every need that we all have this morning. Zara, special interest in your prayers, we look into the Word of the Lord. The title of the message this morning is For All People. I'd like to begin in a very familiar passage in John chapter 4, verse 7. Let's just begin with verse 5. It said, There cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to the son Joseph. This talking about Christ now. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So it was in the afternoon. Now keep in mind that most people came to the well in the early morning hours or in the evening hours. So Jesus was there in the middle of the afternoon. And it said, There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So it's very possible that it was only Jesus and this Samaritan woman that was at the well. Now we can debate the appropriateness of that, but that's what happened. Jesus was there at the well in the middle of the afternoon, and there was a Samaritan woman that came. Jesus did not ignore her. He did not overlook her. He looked on this woman and said, Give me to drink. Now there is great significance in what happened there because the Samaritans were considered to be second-class citizens. All right? The Samaritans were in essence cousins of the Jews. They were considered to have compromised truth. They had built their own tabernacle. They had their own laws. They acknowledged some of the law of Moses, but they had incorporated other things. So let's just put it this way. They didn't worship like you and me. They were different. They were just different people, and they were not yet, Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And much less, this was a Samaritan woman. And Jesus looked at her and he said, Woman, he said, Give me to drink. And it said, Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. In other words, they had been ostracized. They were a part of society that had been ostracized from the norm. They lived a little bit differently, and so they were considered outcast by the Jews. And here we find Jesus, the Messiah, reaching out to this woman that was an outcast in essence. And Jesus said, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And then the story goes on. There's lots of wonderful lessons in this story. But Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for living water. I ask you for earthly water. But if you knew that I was the Son of God, you'd be saying, Give me living water. And it says as they went on, the woman said, Sir, in verse 15, Give me this water. Because I won't have to come here to this well anymore. She didn't understand. Jesus said, Go and call thy husband and come hither. All right, now go and tell your husband to come here, and we're gonna talk about this. Jesus knew what he was doing. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus answered and said, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou know now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly. And the woman said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How did you know this? He said, Go call thy husband. Jesus knew the condition of that woman's life. Do you know this morning that Jesus knows the condition of our lives today? And when he asks a question, he already knows the answer. And she said, I've had five. You want to talk about, now we're not just talking about a woman of that time who was seen in society as inferior to men. It was a Samaritan woman who was seen as an outcast. Now let's just compound the issue. Now this is a woman that had had five husbands. Actually, Jesus said, the man you're with now, you know he's not your husband. She might have just been living with someone. I don't know what the situation was. But Jesus knew exactly the condition of this woman. This woman most likely, because if she was on the fifth man in her life, he knew that she was also ostracized from her own people. Not only was she an outcast from the Jews, not only was she a woman, now this is a Samaritan woman that has had five men in her life. So her neighbors and her family probably looked down their spiritual nose at her. And this was the woman that the Lord decided to meet that day at the well. Jesus knew she was going to be there. I am so thankful this morning that God is not a respecter of person. The scripture says in John chapter 4, rather 3, I'm sorry, we could all quote it. John 3:16, for God so loved who? The world. That's talking about us this morning. But it's not only talking about us. That is talking about every single individual in society. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It is the will of God this morning that every individual find eternal life, which means that He came for all people. He didn't just come to the Jews. He didn't just come to the people of His own race. He came to every race of every tongue, both genders. I said both genders. He came to all people. He came to those that had been cast out. He came to those that have been ridiculed. He came to the sinner. Do you realize that's why Jesus came this morning? He came for the broken. He came for those that have needs in their life. He came to those that have gone through life and made a mess of their life. Jesus came and died for those people. And He revealed that to that Samaritan woman that day. He said, oh, He came and met her and He knew exactly where she was. And yet Jesus loved everybody. And He came for everybody. This morning, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He loves you. Right where you're at, Jesus loves you this morning. You may say, but you don't know all the things I've done. God does, and He still loved you. That's why He came and died on the cross, because He cared about you, and He wants you to make heaven your home this morning. He wants you to make it. And so He came for all people. This is why when some of you that start Bible reading, and I know I hope everyone's Bible reading is going well, if you haven't finished already, I hope it's going well. Well, you know, if a lot of times people say, I'm going to read. So they turn to Matthew 1, and then their eyes cross. You know, start reading through that, this one begat this one, and that one begat that one. It's like, okay, I think I'm not doing that this morning. Do you know what's beautiful about Matthew 1? The lineage of Christ is beautiful because it wasn't all about heroes of faith. It wasn't all about the Abrahams. It wasn't all about those that have done well. The woman Tamar is in there. Rahab. Bathsheba. These people that were cast out. There are women in the lineage that are named out in Matthew 1 that were not Jews. Do you know what's beautiful about that to me? That Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. He came for the Gentiles. Those that are purporting that Christ came to just a select few. I thank God that Jesus came for all people. He came for all of us. And some say, well, he came for 144,000. No, that was symbolic of God's people throughout the whole dispensation of time. He came to whosoever will, let him come. If you're thirsty this morning for something spiritual, you have access to Jesus Christ. We don't have to check your pedigree. We don't have to check your lineage. We don't have to see who are your parents. Well, I didn't know your great-grandparents weren't part of the Church of God, so you're not welcome. No, Jesus came for all people. And so we have here, who was Rahab? She was a harlot, wasn't she? Do you realize that she was in the lineage of Christ? Christ had in his history a harlot. He's a prostitute. And she was in the lineage of Christ. Why did he put that in there? It seems like those are the skeletons in our closet. We don't want to talk about those. There was someone in my family tree that we don't know much about because at the time people just didn't want to talk a lot about it. Do you know it's there in Matthew 1? There was a harlot in Jesus' lineage. Solomon and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, their son was Solomon. That's in the lineage of Christ. Why is that? Because sin was committed. And yet from that, from the fruit that came from that, Jesus found a woman to send his son, to give birth to his son, to die for us. It lets me know Jesus came for all people. It doesn't matter how gross the sin, it was all out there. And Jesus came to understand those that had been cast out from society. Jesus came to understand those that had been ridiculed, those that were very poor, and those that were rich, those that were of a spiritual background, and those that knew nothing about God. Jesus came for all people. And I am so thankful this morning that today that God still has His arms open to all people. And that includes me and you. And Lord, help us to get the message. It includes every individual that you come in contact with. When you come in contact with people this week, I want to remind you Jesus died for them. When you are tempted to walk on the other side of the street, I want you to know Jesus died for them. When you think, oh, their sin, that is horribly gross, and you want to go a different way, Jesus died for them. He died for people of all nations and all backgrounds, people of all kinds of sin. Jesus came to die for them that they might have eternal life. Thank the Lord for that. The Gentiles, Jesus had Gentiles in his lineage. Next time you read Matthew 1 and your eyes start crossing, start looking up who those people were. And there were sinners and Gentiles, and there were tricksters and shysters and liars and thieves and prostitutes. Why was that there? Because Jesus came for all people. He loved them all. And so he came to minister. First in John chapter 1 verse 11 it says he came unto his own. But his own what? Received him not. But to such as received him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to what? Become the sons of God. Thank the Lord. He didn't just come to the Jews. If he wouldn't just come to the Jews, I couldn't be saved today. I'm a Gentile. If you would have just come to the spiritual elite, the Pharisees, I wouldn't be saved this morning. If you would have just come to those that had it all together, I wouldn't be saved this morning. You have it all together this morning, are you broken? You done everything right in your life, or are there sins in your life, in your past? Jesus came and died. And he loved you because he wanted to give you a better life. I thank God for that this morning. He came unto his own. His own, they rejected him. But as many as received him, whosoever will this morning has a heart for God, the Lord Jesus will accept you and welcome you into his fold. He'll make a new creature out of you. He won't leave us in our sin. He won't leave us living the same way we've been living, but through His power, He'll give us life. He'll change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That people may reject me. People may look down their nose at me. We may say, well, this is the spiritual. We're in the upper room. It was mentioned last Sunday. We may be in the upper room this morning, but what do we have that they don't have out there? It's nothing in and of ourselves. The only thing that we have that's worth anything is if we have Jesus Christ this morning. So when we go and rub shoulders with the world, we are not up here and they're down here. Jesus came for all people. And He loves all of them. May we be the same ministers of hope this morning. May we be the ministers of the love of God to let the people that we meet in society that have been rejected and cast out and scorned and looked down upon. May we be some of those that will show them the love of God this morning. Are we too spiritual? So, well, look at these sinners. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm not like this man. Thankful I give and I pray and I fast. What did Jesus say? He said, it was the man that came in and said, be merciful to me. What? A sinner. So what do we have this morning? We're not spiritually elite. The only thing that we have was the gift of God because we opened our heart and received His love. How can we go and face a world and look down on them? Because if it weren't for the grace of God, we would be there too. I got saved as a young child, and I remember the Lord made a change in my life. I had spiritual growing pains growing up, just like everyone else does. But I got saved, and it kept me. It kept me from a lot of sin. It kept me. But I look at my life and I know that if it weren't for the grace of God, I would be far from the person I am today. The Lord saved me then, but He also kept me from a lot of things. But not everyone's been kept from a lot of things. There are people, the Scripture says, thank God for it. He said, "You know ye not that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God." That was judgment. The unrighteous won't inherit. He said, effeminate, abusers of themselves. He talks about the drunkard, the liar, the adulterer, the fornicator. And you say, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. And we say, okay, but it didn't stop there. He said, and such were some of you. Such were some of you, but you have been washed and you've been sanctified because you accepted the gift of God. Do you know, I thank God this morning, I am an ex-sinner. I'm an ex-sinner this morning. I used to be. And if someone says, well, what did you used to be? Well, there's shame sometimes with that. This woman was a Samaritan woman, and she was ashamed, I'm sure. She was an outcast. She was ostracized, and yet the love of God reached out to her, and she found hope for a brighter tomorrow. You remember in the book of Mark, and I'll just relate the story, but in the book of Mark, in the first chapter, there was a leper that came to Jesus. And a leper came and he was beseeching Jesus for healing. He said, if you want to, I can be made whole. You can make me clean. And it said, Jesus was moved with compassion and he put forth his hand. And you know what he did? It said he touched the leper. Do you know, according to the law, you were not to touch a leper or you would be considered unclean. Jesus came to touch the leper. He came to reach out to the sinners. He came to reach out to those that people kind of like, go the other side. Jesus died for them, and He was not afraid to reach out and touch the one that was unclean. What are we afraid of this morning? Are we afraid? Are we afraid to touch the leper? Someone might think, I have leprosy then. I've been there before. I've had people accuse me of both extremes spiritually. Well, look, they're reaching out to this one. I think they're going liberal. And, oh, they're reaching out. They're going. We got accused of being liberal and fanatic at the same time. And I remember the time I was like, Lord, I guess we're right where we're supposed to be. Are we afraid this morning to reach out and touch the leper? That's why Jesus came. He came for all people this morning. People may walk away from the lepers this morning. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, there was another woman that we read about. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It said, one of the Pharisees, verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired Jesus that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And you all know a Pharisee was one that was kind of in the spiritual elite, right? They kept the law of Moses very carefully. And it said, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. You remember what she did with that alabaster box? She began crying and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. How inappropriate. Wasn't it? Let's tell you what the Pharisees thought about it. When the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Does he not know what kind of woman this is? Does he not know? And Jesus was letting her wash his feet. Now, I'm not recommending that the brethren go let women wash their feet. That's not the point this afternoon. You understand that. But there was something about it. It's like she was a sinner woman. And Christ accepted her worship and her devotion. And they said, if he knew what manner of woman this was, he wouldn't have done this. He knew who that was, and yet he did not despise her or turn her away. Jesus is no respecter of persons this morning. Do you remember the woman that was caught in adultery, brought to Christ? And the spiritual leaders were ready to condemn her according to the law of Moses. Do you remember the story? And when Jesus was all finished with probably most likely listing out their sins, it just says he stooped and wrote in the ground, and one by one they walked out. And when he lifted up his eyes, he says, where is everyone? They'd all left. And Jesus looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn thee. But what did he say? Go and sin no more. He gave that woman hope of a better tomorrow. He gave her hope of something better that was coming. See, Jesus is no respecter of persons. The scripture teaches us this as well in the book of James in the second chapter. It said, if a rich man came among us and you gave them the upper seat and, oh, we'll sit here and you just cater to all their needs, and a poor man come in your midst and you despise him and kind of put him in a lower, he said, that whoever is a respecter of person committeth sin. Jesus and God, they are not a respecter of persons. Jesus came for all people this morning. And if you ever get to a place or have ever been in a place that you felt a little bit despised, if you've ever been felt like you were a little bit of an outcast, if you ever felt like you weren't accepted, Jesus came for you. And he loves you this morning. Scripture talks about how that when we have put on the new man, that there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. So who did Jesus come for this morning? He came for all people. He came for all people of whatever background, regardless of the sin. I'd like to tell you a story this morning. I related it years ago and I'm still moved by it. Heard a pastor tell a story one time. I was in Indiana. Pastor told a story about he went into a hospital room and there was a man that was, he was a homosexual. I'm just going to say it. This is the world we live in now. A few years ago, it wouldn't have been acceptable to even say that in public. He was living as many people in our world are living today. And he walked into the hospital room, and this man was there wearing some pink clothes, and he was dying. He was on his deathbed dying. Man looked up, and minister said, "Could I talk to you a little bit?" He said, "No, you're just here to tell me I'm going to go to hell like everybody else." The minister said, "That's not why I'm here." He said, I wanted to tell you about a God that loves you. He said, "I wanted to tell you about a God that sent His Son to die for you, that you could be saved." And that man gave his heart to the Lord that day. And he accepted Christ. One of the first things he did, he called the nurses to come in and change his clothes for him. He told the minister, he said, "I want you to take care of my funeral." And he said, "I'm going to have a lot of my friends that are, they're going to, a lot of friends that I've had in the past are going to come to my funeral." He said, "I want you to tell them what you told me today. I want you to tell them that God loves them." You will not find me on a street corner protesting this morning, folks. I don't want to be found out on the street on a corner with a sign telling people, yes, sin is sin. And there's no excuse. Sin, there's judgment against sin. But I want to tell you something. What's going to save people is them knowing that there's a Savior that can change their life. There's a Savior that came and died on the cross that they don't have to continue in their sin. He said, "Here, such were some of you." I remember in Sunday school years ago, there were some that were kind of getting pretty, a little bit carnal in their righteousness. Does that make sense? Talking about how, you know, in a sin is wrong. The lifestyles that are in our, are pervasive in our world today. Many of them, they're far, far from God. It's gross sin. But you know what? Jesus died for them. And if we're going to walk on the other side of the street, who's going to tell them there's a Savior that loves them? If we're not going to minister to the Samaritan, if we're not going to minister to this one from that country or this tribe, do you know that's where prejudice comes from? Our world is full of prejudice. It doesn't matter what based on color, based on socioeconomic status, based on what sin is in your life. Jesus came for all people. And He's wanting some of us to take on. He's wanting all of us to have that same love and same care that we're able to go, not accepting the sin, not excusing it, not endorsing it, but there to let people know there's a Savior that loves you. And if we get on our spiritual high horse this morning, who's going to take the message of the love of God to these people? Jesus died for them and He loved them. So every interaction that you have with someone this week, no matter how despicable their lifestyle, no matter how badly that they're conducting themselves, may we remember that Jesus died for them. That's a soul. And there's going to come a day that they're going to stand before God. We have something to share with people. And it's a message of love. It's a message of hope. It's a message of deliverance. That story moved me because it demonstrated the care and the concern that Jesus has for people that have been ostracized and rejected from all people. There's no place for prejudice among God's people. Is that right? You know, someone made a comment of another race, made a smart comment to my daughter just recently in a church setting. She came in and said, they said this, like, you know what? She didn't let it bother her, but it's like, you know what? None of us can change the color of our skin, the family that we were born in, the language we speak, whether we're rich or poor. What control did any of us have over those things? There is no place for prejudice, whether you're black or white or brown or something in between. There is no place for prejudice. There's no place for looking down on someone or speaking down to someone or having a motivation or perspective that they're inferior or lower. Jesus died for all people, men, women, sinners, people that are in churches, people that aren't in churches. Jesus came for all people and He died for them. And all of us were and are in need of a Savior. All of us. We all need a Savior this morning. Is there anybody here that doesn't need help from the Lord? You say, but they're so messed up. Yeah, I was too. Well, they're so broken, there's no hope for them. They've gone too far. Look how they've hurt their family. Look at what they've done without regard to the wake of destruction they're leaving in their path. Yes, and Jesus died for them. And He came because He wants to give them hope. Well, in closing, if you will turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 9th chapter. Matthew chapter 9 in the 13th verse. Actually, let's begin reading with verse 9. It said, Jesus passed forth from thence, and He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Do you know who Matthew was? He was a tax collector. Who of y'all loved the IRS this morning? This was a tax collector. And the tax collectors, who did they work for in this time? They worked for the Romans. That's right. They were seen as traitors. The Romans are oppressing the Jews. And so now you are a Jew and you're working for the opposing government. You're working for the oppressor, the Roman government. And so publicans were outcast. Don't invite a publican into your home because your neighbors might not want anything to do with you. Jesus was walking along and He came by a publican and He stopped and He said, "Follow me." You hear the call of God to the publicans this morning, to those that haven't been accepted by society or the spiritual elite. Jesus called a publican. And He rose and He followed Him. I'm so thankful that the gospel message was to all of us this morning. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came in, and they sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Why is Jesus eating with these sinners? When Jesus heard it, this is what He said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." If you're well, you don't need a physician. But people go to the physician when they're sick, when they have a need. Jesus came to minister to those of us that are bruised and broken and addicted and doing all the things that we can find in this world to satisfy the longing that's inside of our heart. And it takes people to some very deep, dark places in our society. And yet, Jesus came for them. He said, "It's not those that are whole. They don't need a physician, but they that are sick." And this is how Jesus concluded. He said, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. For I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." When the Lord gave me this week, all I could say as I read that passage was, "Lord, help me. I will have mercy." What did He say? "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Do you know what He was talking about? It wasn't that God doesn't want us to sacrifice, but He was talking about our spiritual sacrifices that we make. We fast and we pray and we give and we do good things. And well, we should, right? But do you know what Jesus said? "I would rather." Don't get rid of all the other good stuff, because that's taught in the Word. But it is more important that you have mercy. Mercy on who? Mercy on the outcast. Mercy on the fornicator. Mercy on the adulterer. mercy on the drunkard, mercy on those that have hurt everybody that's around him in their life. I would rather you have mercy than make all of these sacrifices spiritually that you've made. He said, go and learn what that means. I feel like I have some more to learn this morning. I feel like I have some more to learn. Jesus came for all people. And this is why Jesus said, go ye into where? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to whom? To every creature. Next time you feel that spiritual indignation rising up with you, and again, we hate sin. Don't misunderstand the message this morning. But next time you just want to, it's like, and you just don't want anything to do with them, I want you to remember this. Jesus died for that soul. Would you be the one to reach out and touch the leper? Just show them love because Jesus died for all people. I'm so thankful the gospel is to each one of us this morning. Maybe we could stand and sing a song.